suddenly bouncing back. It's now up around $17.65 an ounce. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and let me read a verse to you that will, I think, will explain very well where we're going in our conversation today. The verse is taken out of 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 15 it says this, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason for a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." And so many people in our listening audience, of course, would say, sanctify the Lord in your heart. Yeah, I get that. We're supposed to be sanctifying God. We're supposed to be coming as holy as a saved sinner can be. We should be drawing ourselves and via the Holy Spirit of God away from sin, away from the world, and towards the things of God, more and more into His Word and more into fellowship with Him and with His people. We understand that. But the second part about always being ready to give an answer to those that would ask, that's the portion that many people find difficulty with. We talked about it the other day on the radio program with Greg Kokel from Stand to Reason. And we're talking about some of the objections that Christians raise about sharing their faith, about sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, about sharing their Christian conviction or Christian worldview with those that are round about them. That oftentimes they feel intimidated by doing this. They feel that, well, I don't have all the answers. Their objective is much too great. They feel that it's all the weight of the world is upon them to bring this person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Greg was giving us some excellent help and answers there. Well, we want to continue that conversation today about the subject of the word for it, obviously in theological terms, is apologetics. Basically comes from the idea of having an answer, giving an answer to those for what we believe. We're saying we believe certain set of truths that are given to us in the Scripture, defined by the apostles and the epistles as the faith, a set of doctrinal truths that we believe. So we believe a certain set of truths. Sometimes, many times, people codify those in statements of faith. We hold in our church to the Westminster Confession of Faith as the substandard. So codified in that substandard, the Westminster Confession of Faith, is a certain body of belief, a certain set of statements and theological statements that articulate what we believe. But the thing is, can you defend that? Can you give someone an answer for those things? That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're doing so because we're getting near to a very important event that's going to be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, again this year. This year, the Southern Evangelical Seminary is hosting the 18th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's going to take place on October 28th and 29th, and it's going to take place at Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The conference is going to offer to attendees some of the top speakers in America who will bring new insights on the issues Christians face in our country, issues related to politics, education, business, the marketplace, every single sphere and aspect of life is what they're going to be focusing on. Some of the speakers that will be at this event, there's a long list of really great apologetic speakers like Frank Turek and Josh McDowell, and William Lane Craig is going to be there, William Dembski, Gary Habermas, Greg Kokel, who was on with us the other day, and many others. And so it's going to be a very good event, very close for a lot of the people in the immediate listening area of this radio program. It actually goes out to four states on the internet, on the airwaves. On the internet, it goes across the country. But on the airwaves, four states, all of South Carolina, parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia are listening to the broadcast today. All of you folks, this is within a short drive for the folks right here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's an hour and a half down the road there, or up the road, up 85 in order to get to Charlotte. And so it's a very quick drive for you in order to be able to take advantage of such great speakers that are all compiled in one location. On the program today, my guest is Eric Gustafson. I messed that up, but he'll straighten it out for us. Director of Development for Southern Evangelical Seminary. He graduated from Eastern Michigan University with a degree in telecommunications and film. I feel your pain, Eric. I also spend a pretty good amount of time in telecommunications myself, so we can commiserate about that in just a moment. He's working towards an MA in Christian Apologetics at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's been on over a dozen short-term missionary trips, some of them right here domestically in the U.S., but also abroad in Russia and in Peru. I went on a mission trip to Trujillo, Peru, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, he's created this is interesting. He created the Short-Term Missions Language Program, which is a language training program specifically designed for the needs of short-term missionaries. I think that's important. I know when I went to Peru, I had a couple key things that I wanted to make sure I could say. I think one of them was, ¿Dónde el baño? Where's the bathroom? That was one of the things. I wanted to make sure I had certain things down. He's also the producer for Sound Reason, and Reason in that venue is spelled R-E-Z-N, Sound Reason, which is the radio program with Alex McFarlane. And, as if he doesn't have enough to do, he's the administrator of the National Conference on Christian Apologetics, the conference that we're talking about today. With that, let me go ahead and welcome our guest here, Eric, to the program today. Eric, welcome.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm exhausted listening to all that.
Yeah, you're excited to hear who we're going to talk to, right?
Yeah, going to meet this guy, right?
Let me ask you, I told you we'd commiserate a little bit about telecommunications. I was in telecom during the CLEC age, you know, where the deregulation had taken place, and so a lot of CLECs were raising up where they were reselling phone services. I was also involved in the PBX side of things, so the type of phone systems that folks use in their businesses. I know you're familiar with these terms, but spelling it out for our listening audience. And involved in that, and within those companies, I was actually involved in the IT, or the information technology part of the country or company. And so I feel your pain, having gone through some of that. It changes on a daily basis, and there's always some issue related to technology, of course. And so I understand you have a degree in that.
Yeah, it's one of those fields that it's fascinating because it's always changing, but it's very hard to keep up with because it's always changing.
Exactly. It's like you can never really build much seniority in that area because as soon as the technology changes, the new kid on the block is the one that knows the latest and greatest technology. So there just wasn't much you could say, well, I've been with the company for 10 years or something like that. But it really began not to make that big of a difference. In fact, it maybe even began to hurt you. You knew the legacy systems very well, but you didn't know the latest and greatest or bleeding edge technology, as they used to refer to it as. Also, I mentioned that you had gone to Peru as part of your short-term missionary endeavor. Where'd you go? Did you go to Lima?
Well, of course, flew through Lima, but ultimately it was Pucallpa. I was with a ministry called South American Mission, and they had quite a program in Pucallpa ministering to the Shipibo Indians.
Mm. I know that I heard on the news recently they just suffered an earthquake there as well in
yes.
Peru, and I'm not sure. It may have been closer to Lima, but I'm not positive. Do you know?
I remember seeing that. I think it was Lima, Machu Picchu, you know, somewhere along the coast there. I didn't see the details, though.
Have you been to Trujillo?
No. Okay. No, unfortunately, I only got through Lima and then Pucallpa, which is deep in the, I don't know if you know where that is, but that's jungle living.
Mm.
And,
wow.
The only city in the jungle. So those are my two experiences in Peru.
Mm-hmm. My experience there with Peru, with Trujillo, first of all, we landed in Lima, which means that we fly right over Trujillo, our destination, and go further south. And then we landed in Lima and then took a small plane back. I just remember looking out the plane window when we were coming in for a landing in Trujillo. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the plane is getting very low. We're like 100 feet off of the water. And I'm like, either a runway needs to appear here very quickly, or the plane wheels are about to be wet here any moment. And sure enough, out of the middle of nowhere, then they're approaching it, you know, obviously coming off of the coast, they're approaching it from the water. But all of a sudden, the runway appears, and boom, we're down just like that. We actually went there and did some, helped out with building a few of the churches that were there, which they just ran circles around us on being able to physically do the work that was there. They took, we were taking concrete, and they would mix the concrete by hand, and then they would turn the mixer, and the mixer would then dump the concrete into tin cans that we had. They were originally oil cans for cooking oil. So they cut the tops off of these cans. So you would put the can on your shoulder, and then they would dump it into the can. A lot of it would slop over the top of the can and run down the side of your head. But I think it was about 80 pounds that you then carried. And we carried them then. You would pick it up, and you would carry it on your shoulder up the stairs, across the old sanctuary, out the back door, and then dump it. And I forget, they said we would have to do that something like, don't remember, so anybody who went with me is listening, don't hold me to this, but I think it was something like 800 times we were going to have to dump this in order to get the concrete to where it was needed. So the Peruvians would just look at us and, you know, laugh, because I started taking less in my tin because I couldn't keep up with them. You know, it was so heavy. But they're tremendous workers. And anyways, there's my Peruvian story. Now, what did you do there in the jungle specifically? Were you sharing the gospel with the folks there?
Well, I was with South American Mission, and what they focus on is discipleship. And for lack of better words, they set up seminaries in places that would not otherwise be served. So they'll have a plane service, for example. They have something called SAM Air, South American Mission Air, and they go out to the villages and they pick up the pastors for the villages, fly them back to Pucallpa, which, you know, is a major metropolitan area for the jungle, and they have seminaries set up there where they train them and go through regular seminary training so that, you know, these remote tribes can be served with good theology and preparation for many things, including all the cults that are out there trying to share their faith. So there was an apologetics angle even in what they were doing there. So I was there primarily. I was working with the Sam Air people and the base. The real heavy lifting was being done by the career missionaries, because that is a long-term project. It's not like a building project or VBS or other short-term opportunities that are real good for short-term. This type thing, the people who are on the ground for their whole career, they're the ones that deserve all the praise and all the credit.
Tell me about this language training program then that you designed for short-term missionaries.
Yeah, that started, I've been to Russia 4 times on short-term missions, and I remember the first time I went, it was, you know, I'd got all the Berlitz programs, everything I could get from the library to try and learn Russian. And, you know, they're designed for tourists and they're designed for business people. So while it was helpful to say, where is the toilet, they had all sorts of things in there that were just not needed for the missionary. I didn't need to worry about booking my hotel room. That's taken care of by your sending agency. And so I found myself having learned a lot of things that were completely useless. And then I said to myself, I just studied for 6 months to try and pick up as much Russian as I could. And I don't even know how to tell this person Jesus loves them.
Mm.
You know, that's a glaring hole. So what I did is I essentially took the programs that are designed for secular use or just mainstream use, business and travel, and took out what was not needed and put in what was needed. So there, it's very focused on relationships. So the phrases that you memorize are, you know, learning about somebody's family, their history, you know, getting to know them personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the gospel, the basic gospel. What I did is got permission from Campus Crusade, and I reprinted the four spiritual laws in those languages because they've done such a good job of doing that, translating that. So worked in conjunction with them. So anyway, that was did that for several years, and it's still there. There's ministries that are still offering that program. It's available in Spanish, Portuguese, and Russian.
Wow, that sounds interesting. That sounds like it'd be very helpful. And I ended up preaching in a church there, but I did so with an interpreter or a translator. And that was a unique experience because I had to speak in short sound bites. I couldn't, you know, just ramble on like I would normally. I had to, you know, cut it short in order to give him time to be able to translate it. So it was very interesting and a great lesson. I enjoyed the time.
I know that that's not what we're talking about now, but I think the important thing to say to anyone who's in short-term missions is that you're not going to learn enough to preach a sermon. That's what translators are for.
Sure.
But what sets apart the missionary that's effective from the missionary that's just on vacation with a purpose is what mark you leave with the nationals. And if you just try to learn their language, you could be butchering it, but you're sincerely trying, that goes a long way to show that you love and you respect them, that you're not this know-it-all American showing up demanding that everybody speaks English to them, which is unfortunately common with Americans who travel abroad. So you stand out right away just by simply, and that's what sort of started this adventure was, I noticed that when I went on these trips, teammates that came with me who knew no Russian and weren't trying to learn Russian just sort of were there.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the Russians were trying to hang out with those of us who were, you know, showing an interest in their culture, their language, and then we had opportunities because of that to share the gospel. And so it's more of a tool than it is. It's not practical in the sense that you're going to be Billy Graham up there giving a message in their native tongue.
Yeah.
But that's just a little side note, but something that I've found to be very true, and I think everybody going on a short-term mission should try and learn some words, some phrases, and just to show love and respect for those people so that you have an open door for the gospel.
You're right. We didn't plan on discussing that as much, but it's certainly a subject that is worthy of a discussion at some point. Maybe we'll do that because I've got some views about short-term mission. You used the phrase there dealing with the idea of it being something of a glorified vacation. I have a lot of views about that as well, that, you know, a lot of times it's just not, we're not getting our money's worth, really, out of the short-term missionary. In fact, I wonder out loud here, which is always a dangerous thing, if we're not wasting a lot of money by doing some of these things, just because we're not doing it in a way that is, God glorifying and really putting, you know, we'd do better to send the money and let them do the work rather than, you know, just sending people on they wanted, you know, some sort of adventure. I digress. Let me get to the conference.
You're right. That's a great topic.
It is.
Another conversation.
Exactly. We'll do that. Let's go to the idea of the conference and the idea of apologetics. Why don't you give us a brief description, a good working definition that we could use here for our conversation about what you mean when you talk about Christian apologetics.
Well, you did such a great job setting it up. You know, apologetics, of course, comes from the word apologia or apologia, different pronunciations, which simply means a defense. It was a legal term in Greek. And so you can be an apologist for anything. I could be an apologist for movies, you know, and say, mm-hmm. you really need to go see this film. It was great. And you just explain all the reasons why they need to go see this film. You're being an apologist for the film. Christian apologetics, of course, deals with having an answer for why you believe what you believe. And the things I like to point out is that, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, you can't argue people into salvation. And we say, of course not. Well, that's not what apologetics is. Apologetics is giving rational reasons based on lines of evidence within different disciplines. It's not all science or all philosophy. There's historical apologetics and other disciplines that you can give a defense for the faith. But the important thing to remember, I think, is that if somebody's truly seeking and they, you know, you're witnessing to them and talking about your faith, presumably it's in a relationship, there's back and forth. So apologetics assumes that you have a relationship, which is an important point to make.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, well, here's a question, here's an objection. If you were to answer them and say, you just need to believe, you know, here, let me read John 3:16 to you again, you just need to believe. My question is, how loving is that? And how loving was it to say to the person, you know, that's a great question. If you're serious about that, that's good to ask questions. God's not afraid of inquiry. In fact, the scriptures, you know, replete with people inquiring and God saying, yes, seek out the truth and you'll find me. So you say to your lost friend or family member, I don't know the answer to that, but I guarantee in the last 2,000 years somebody has dealt with that. If I go and find an answer for you, will it be okay if I come back and bring this up again? Now, you've just, first of all, got another appointment to share the gospel with somebody who needs it. But secondly, you've showed them that God will meet them where they're at. And isn't that the gospel? That he doesn't say, become a philosopher or become perfect, become sinless. Don't become anything. You can just come to him as you are. So apologetics oftentimes is, and unfortunately, apologists can fall into this this trap. Apologetics oftentimes is looked at as arguing with people, and so it's confrontational. At least the caricature of it is. But really, what apologetics is, it's rooted in relationships and respecting and honoring true, honest seeking, not people who are throwing out objections just because they like to hear themselves talk. You know, you have to have wisdom and just say to that person, look, you're not seeking, so let's talk about the football game on Sunday because this isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who are truly seeking, let's love them enough to meet them where they're at and show them that God does have reasons for them to believe.
So they're raising questions. They're saying, well, you know, You're saying everything that you say. They're talking to the Christian. They're saying to the Christian, everything you're saying, though, is based on the Bible. How do you get questions like this. How do you know the Bible is true? And so what you're doing is taking their questions and you're giving them reasonable answers for these legitimate questions that people have. And there's two sides to that, right? I mean, we're looking somewhat at the side of the person receiving the answers. But there's also the other side that a Christian has a duty, a responsibility, a privilege to learn more so that he is able to answer those questions.
And you think you're heading towards something that is the second prong in the apologetics arsenal, and that is strengthening of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of us have at some point asked a question, something akin to, is this really true? Or does God have something to say about this area of my life? Everybody who's honest acknowledges that they ask the questions. I think everyone does ask these questions, but not everybody acknowledges it. So apologetics serves to strengthen the believer's faith. I can't tell you how many times my first need for apologetics was I accepted Christ in sixth grade, and within months, of course, who was knocking at the door but the Jehovah's Witnesses. And me as a young Christian, I just was not prepared.
Yeah.
They walk in and tell me Jesus did never claim to be God. There's no doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible. And I said, well, sure there is. And I looked in the concordance under T for Trinity and found nothing. My faith was shaken. And so, you know, I didn't just give up my Christianity at that point. I started to research it. I got some Walter Martin material and sure enough, I find out that actually almost every page of the Bible has Trinitarian doctrine in it.
Right.
Even if you can't see it, the word Trinity isn't in there. So, you know, right away, if you're a Christian who is sharing their faith, if you're a Christian who's growing in their faith, I don't see that you will not necessarily find the need for apologetics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a very good point for us to go to break, because when we come back from the break, I want you then to tell us about this conference, because this will be an opportunity for people to learn more about apologetics, to learn how they can answer these questions. What are the resources available? These are some of the best of the best in the apologetic arena who will be gathered together on October 28th and 29th. Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Apologetics Conference. In fact, it's called the National Conference on Christian Apologetics for 2011. 18th annual one. We're going to give you more information about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
You know, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock." God knocks at the door of people, but it's up to people individually to open up the door of their heart. The doorknob is on the inside.
Right.
That means their mom and their dad can't open up the door of their heart. Your husband and your wife can't open up the door of your heart. We have to do that ourselves personally at some point in our life, and that's personal, something between us and the Lord.
Amen.
Christian Worldview today, weekday mornings at 7 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Music is music. I mean, it's all good, right?
When my body's been a mess and I'm anxious.
No, it's not all good.
Jesus said, "There's good and evil, truth and deceit. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
But do we really believe that in a world where the truth is relative and it's all good? Or have we Christians started to believe the pop culture idea that good and bad are just a matter of opinion? We all love the gentleness of compromise, and we all want to be on friendly terms with our neighbors. But there are some things we can't compromise on. Biblical truth happens to be one of them. Go to BillyGraham.org and click on Spiritual Growth. That's BillyGraham.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're talking about apologetics. We're talking about a really good conference that's coming to the area. In fact, world-renowned apologists will be gathering together for at Southern Evangelicals Conference this October, and Christians are standing up for the faith and teaching them how to stand up for the faith. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements. The Pastor's Fellowship, really, I gave the count the other day, but if there's still a pastor or a seminary student or somebody that would like to attend the Pastor's Fellowship that will take place tomorrow. This is part of the Pastor's Fellowship of Greater Greenville. Tomorrow from 11:30 until 1 o'clock, we're having a special guest speaker, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner. He's the national spokesman and the founder of the Cornwall Alliance. We're talking to today about apologetics. Well, what do you know about radical environmentalism? We see this taking place throughout. It is permeating our society. It's hard to find a product anymore that doesn't have some sort of a quote-unquote green aspect to it. New green homes being built, new green products being produced. Some of these things might be just fine. It might be, you know, nothing more than they're avoiding waste or trying not to waste energy. Some of these things may be absolutely fine. But other parts of this are extremely disturbing to those with any sense of discernment in the Christian faith. There are parts of this where suddenly the earth and the creation are being worshipped rather than the Creator himself. There's a not-so-subtle shift that is taking place here, and Christians need to be aware of it. They need to be aware of it because many Christians are signing on to this, onto the environmental movement, without knowing what is taking place. Well, tomorrow at lunch, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner is going to talk about these issues. His title for the message tomorrow will be Guarding the Flock Against Radical Environmentalism. You don't want to miss it. If you're a pastor, if you're in leadership of any sort in your church, then it's open for you to be able to attend. The registration page is found out on my website. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. And you can go out there to find out more information. It's $8 to attend, but I'm giving away about $30 worth of books. And so it's you get $30 worth of books, a great presentation, and fellowship together with other folks in ministry here right in the upstate of South Carolina. You can't beat it. It's a no-brainer to be there. If you're not a pastor, make sure your pastor knows about it and so that he's signed up for it. Don't let him miss out on this. It's going to be really good. Dr. E. Calvin Beisner will be preaching at the church that I pastor this upcoming Lord's Day. He'll be speaking in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and so there'll be a time for Q&A during that session. And then he'll be opening up the Word of God for us in our morning worship service as well. And that begins at 11 o'clock. We do have some refreshments available in between those two services. So if you'd like to attend, it's out in Traveler's Rest. We're located right on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest, right on the corner of Blue Ridge Drive and Highway 25, about 4 miles past Furman University. I'll give you a restaurant. This is the way most people like to do directions. We're right next door to the El Rancho Grande restaurant. And so a lot of times you come out on Sunday morning, you can smell the tacos going over there, the enchiladas going on over there at El Rancho Grande. So if I haven't already made you hungry, hopefully I made you hungry to come hear the Word of God preached and spoken about at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Sunday morning. Let's go back to our discussion now. We started just before the break after we've talked a little bit about what apologetics is and why it's so important. I wanted to ask our special guest today, Eric Gustafson, about who's, by the way, is the Director of Development for Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's also the administrator of this conference, this important conference, which is titled as the National Conference on Christian Apologetics for 2011, taking place right in Charlotte. Eric, I wanted to ask you, tell us now some of the speakers that will be there. I alluded to a few of those. And even more specifically, what will people learn that go to this conference?
Well, I think the best way is to start with the second question, and then we'll go into what the speakers are going to say on it. This year, you've probably heard a lot of Christian apologists and speakers talk about the big questions of life
mm-hmm.
that everybody's asking. Like I said earlier, whether they are conscious of it or not, you're asking these questions if you're breathing. And the questions are origin, where did I come from, where did everything come from, purpose, you know, why am I here, why is the human race here, destiny, you know, where am I going, both after death or even in this life, and where's the human race going? And then the fourth one, which is probably the one that gets the most traction, is why is there suffering? Why is God, or why is there suffering if there is a God? Of course, a lot of atheists use that to say that that's a reason to not believe in God. Mm. So those four questions are the theme of this conference this year. And we sum it up by saying, why Christianity?
Mm.
And each of the speakers are going to speak to one of those four questions. So it's very targeted. You'll be able to walk away with some real good material, both for your own personal devotion and growth, and then, of course, what we hope is that you'll take this and go out and share with your loved ones or even strangers that you meet. You'll have a better answer to get them thinking, to hopefully bring them one step closer to the cross.
So using these four ultimate questions, origin, purpose, destiny, and suffering, and adding to that the title, Why Christianity, you're saying that Christianity has the best solution, the best answer for all four of these things. We have an answer about our origin, how we got here. We have an answer about what is the purpose of your life and an answer for your destiny, where you're going if you continue on the course you're on right now. And then also for suffering, we have an answer. The Bible does give us, not specifically as to why a person is suffering a certain thing, but suffering in general, we have an answer for all four of those things. Is that correct?
Yes, and I think it's really important, very important to point out that we're not simply saying, as Christians and Christian apologists, that you should accept Christianity because these answers are satisfying, or you know, it's coherent, or it makes sense. What we're saying is, it really reflects reality. This is the way. Like when we say origins, well, we can talk about origins, you know, the origin of the universe, the origin of life. But we're not just saying that this is a useful, pragmatic answer that'll help you kind of give yourself a framework to work from in life. No, the Bible's saying this is really how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important to point out, that Christianity is very unique amongst, if not the only religion or belief system that says test it against reality. And so the New Testament constantly is saying, look, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're to be pitied. So go check it out. You need the people who are still alive at the time. The Bible says go interview these people. Some of them are still walking around Jerusalem. God says, come, let's reason together. I mean, the Bereans were praised for them checking out the gospel message in the Scriptures. So the message of Scriptures is not simply that, here, Christianity will give you something that'll work for you, because the problem there is that doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
And if a person is won to Christianity for pragmatism, they're going to potentially leave Christianity for the same thing. And it's the same problem we find with, you hear youth ministries talking about, whatever you win them with, you lose them with. So if you're winning people by entertainment, then, you know, when they get something that's more entertaining from the world or from another religion, well, then they'll just go there. So we have to be careful of what it is we're saying.
Exactly.
What we're saying is this is true.
Yeah, you use the word reality, which is really, when we define what is truth, of course, the question that was asked by Pontius Pilate to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think probably in a derogatory sense, you know, you could read into that, he said, yeah, what is truth? But truth is reality as God defines it. It is what is really real. That's what people say they want. You know, we've named this program Knowing the Truth. People say they want the truth. Well, here is the truth. Here is God has revealed to us the truth of these things, and we are just restating what God has said in His Word. Is that fair?
That's fair. And I would say that everybody listening, if you haven't already, should read the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, or to check out one of our keynote speakers, as well as the MC for this year, Frank Turek. He's a co-author of that book. His famous line when he's dealing with atheists or any religion, when they say, you know, I believe that truth is whatever you works for you, or they define truth in different ways, it's all relative. He simply asks the question, is that true?
Yeah, right.
Because if the person thinks that they actually said something that was true, what they really are saying is the correspondence view of truth, or that it corresponds with reality. It all gets back to reality.
Mm.
And reality, of course, the only self-existent one, I'm getting deep in theology here, but the only self-existent one is God. So what we're saying is truth is grounded in God.
Amen. Amen. And that's absolutely fine because that's the truth.
Yep.
And that's what we do here is the truth. So that's excellent. You know, you mentioned about these four origins, and this is what, I'm sorry, four points that you're going to be covering: origin, purpose, destiny, suffering, all really under this heading of what is true, what is reality. Tell us now, then, you mentioned Frank Turk is going to be doing the emceeing and maybe some of the sessions as well. Who else is going to be there? And if you have it in front of you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what are some of the topics that they are going to address as well?
Sure. The conference is essentially broken up into two sections, but you know the admission to get to the conference gives you access to both, but not everybody can be there Friday during the day. Friday during the day, there's going to be breakout sessions, and the breakout sessions are going to cover everything from, well, obviously, all four of these topics. If you're in youth ministry or you are a youth, we're going to have a second stage that deals exclusively with youth issues. Questions that they're coming to youth pastors with, or how to deal with issues that are specific to them. So you'll hear talks about gender roles. Of course, creation evolution is huge in everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have that. You're going to have the reliability of the scriptures. You know, how can you believe this? Like you alluded to earlier, we can't just quote scripture to somebody who doesn't recognize that the scripture is authoritative or the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk a lot about how you can know that. And of course it can't be the word of God if there isn't a God, and a God who can communicate to us. So we cover all these. It's a step-by-step process in our thinking when we're sharing our faith, and we have to find out where the person is at to address where they're at. And there will be a talk to address each one of those levels. But from the main stage, you have people like William Dembski, who will be addressing, of course, creation-evolution debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I just make sure that we communicate clearly that origins is much deeper than just simply Darwinism. We spend a lot of time talking about Darwinism, and we do a lot of very good work to take down Darwinism. So sometimes I think people can be confused that when we say origins, it's just simply refuting evolution. It's much, much deeper than that. Dembski, more than almost anyone, he's in the top probably five scholars who has done work to seriously challenge the viability of Darwinism in the scientific community. So we're excited to have him here again. He's actually an adjunct professor here at the seminary, so we're very good friends with him, and his work is something that every Christian needs to be familiar with.
Mm.
We also have one of our professors, J.T. Bridges, who's going to deal with that subject of science and faith, and we'll have a few others. There's probably going to be a total of six or seven talks on the creation evolution issue, so we take it very seriously. Frank Turk, of course, he's going to have a talk this year called Atheist Arguments for the Existence of God.
Interesting.
It's just like Frank, if you've ever heard him speak, you can see him even in his title. But he basically says, listen, the very things atheists are saying, and I won't give away his whole talk, but things like religion is bad. Well, if religion is bad, then there's some ultimate standard by which you judge good and bad, and there can't be an ultimate standard unless there's a God. So by saying religion is bad, you're actually saying there is a God.
Yeah, they hijack language that doesn't fit with what they're saying they believe, right?
Exactly. And even deeper than language, they're hijacking concepts.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite phrases is borrowed capital.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any ground for saying that there's good or bad on their worldview, but they borrow it from the biblical worldview to indict the biblical worldview. So
yes.
It's very interesting. But William Lane Craig will be giving one of my favorite talks of his, but he doesn't give it very often. So if you've heard Craig speak before, you got to come out this time, because very few times does he give this talk. It's on the problem of suffering. And as a philosopher, I'm sure everybody's familiar with him if you're into philosophy at least.
Yeah.
Very, very strong communicator. He takes his sharp mind and puts it to this issue. And he deals with both the emotional problem of evil, and that's where I'm suffering or I see someone suffering and I'm angry about it, God. That's a different issue than the philosophical problem of evil, which he also deals with, which is a good God cannot exist if there's evil and suffering in the world. That's the argument that atheists will throw up to you.
Mm-hmm.
He deals with that head on and rebuts that handily, I think. So those are some of the highlights. Gary Habermas will be doing a special talk on the Shroud of Turin. And anyone who's not familiar with Gary, he is considered the world's expert on the resurrection of Christ. He's an historian, and he goes toe-to-toe with historians, atheist historians, world round. So if you haven't heard him before, you're going to want to hear him. And, of course, Greg Kokel, who was on your show last week, he'll be a keynote speaker as well. Josh McDowell, who I don't think he needs any introduction.
Yeah.
And,
exactly. I've had Josh on here. I think he had a book out about the God of Oprah or something along that line.
Yes.
And we
yes,
talked about that book, The Gospel According to Oprah or something like that. But yeah, you're right. He doesn't need much introduction. His son was there either last year or the year before that. Is he planning on being there as well this year?
We wanted to do actually a father-son feature, but Sean's his son, his schedule wouldn't allow it this time around. So we've already put it in pencil. It's all but signed on the dotted line that next year's conference will have a father-son duo.
Oh, great.
Josh and Sean. So we're real excited about that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Sean was here at last year's conference.
Okay. Yeah, he does some great work himself. And
yeah.
His father has trained him well. So.
Yeah, he's no slouch. That's
for
Sean,
sure.
Sean is worth hearing. That's
yeah.
For sure.
And so you got, did we go through the list there? Or there'll be breakout sessions and stuff as well?
Yes, there's others. In the breakout sessions, it's literally there's close to 50 of them. So
wow.
Yeah, there's in fact, if anybody wants to see the complete list, what you do is you go to Southern Evangelicals website, ses.edu, and there's a link right on the side there for the conference.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I was just on it here just a moment ago, but it might be my computer. It ended up, when I clicked on the schedule, it launches a PDF file, and for some reason mine was hung up on that. So I don't know, you may want to try that, but just wanted to let you know. But that's where folks would go to see the full schedule of what is going to take place. The speakers and that other information is there. Again, that website is www.ses.edu. We'll take you to the main Southern Evangelical Seminary webpage, and then there's a link right there, and you can't miss it because there's logos and those things on that page for you to be able to go to. But when you get to the conference page, then it has a schedule, the speakers themselves, and then hotel information, directions. There's video streaming taking place there, frequently asked questions. You can register right there. It also tells you a little bit about some updated dedicated youth tracks that they're having. What's going to take place there, Eric, in those specifically designed youth tracks?
Well, this is the first year that we are treating it almost as a separate conference in that we're asking questions. What are youth dealing with that's unique? And some of it's going to overlap. I mean, it doesn't matter what age we are, we're asking questions about origin, purpose, and destiny and problems of suffering. But it's going to be couched in very accessible language, first of all. So we're not going to have philosophers impressing themselves with how many words they know and other people don't. And secondly, it's going to be something that students will be able to go to school on Monday, college or high school or even junior high, and be able to use, because it's going to be very practical. Okay, here's Jesus rose from the dead, and here's evidence for it. What does that mean for, you know, me and my second hour class
mm-hmm.
on Monday?
That means there's life after that class.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's going to be things. There's Doug Beaumont, one of our other professors here, has a book out called Message Behind the Movies. And you know, my undergrad degree, like we talked about, was telecom and film. I took quite a bit of film courses. And excellent, excellent stuff about taking this amazingly powerful communication tool of Hollywood, cinema, and not just being able to intelligently watch movies so you're not getting duped by worldviews that are being shoved down our throats. You know, you can weed through them. That's one aspect of his talk. But also saying, look, there are lost people touch on very good points, and they're asking a lot of times the right questions, even when they come up with the wrong answers. And so he talks about ways that we as Christians can either go to movies, appropriate movies, with our unbelieving friends and use that as a segue into the gospel very effectively, or just reference them in our conversations with people. So you don't want to miss that one. He's a plenary speaker for the youth stage.
And that was
Doug Beaumont.
Was that Grant Horner, did you say?
Doug Beaumont.
Okay, Grant Horner also has a book out by the same name, meaning at the movies, I think. But anyways, same type of thing where he's looking at, you know, what's being said in the movie and thinking through from a biblical worldview perspective what is being said in this movie. I think, you know, that becomes the bottom line to a lot of this is that everybody has a message, right? Everything and everybody has a message. We say, well, the world is too preachy. You know, they're always the church is always preaching at us about something. Well, listen, everybody's preaching some message in one way or another.
Watch the Academy Awards?
Yeah, exactly. They're overtly, right? But it's sometimes like an avatar or something, right? I mean, it's got a message in there that, like, you know, man is this whole eco message there, you know, that we're talking about radical environmentalism, that, you know, man is evil and the earth is pristine or should be pristine is the only way that we should enjoy the earth that God has given to us. I mean, there's all these messages that are in these things, and you're basically training people how to discern what the message is. Would that be a correct way of saying it?
Absolutely. I think that we as Christians a lot of times can get we caught up in what we call the swear counter. And that's where you click through and you say, okay, how many cuss words were in this movie? Okay, I'll see it or I won't see it.
Yeah.
But it's so much deeper than that, because there are so many G-rated films that are perfectly fine, family-friendly films that are teaching and shoving down our throats horrible, horrible worldview messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, pantheism with Avatar,
right,
is all over much of Disney's product. And so, not that we don't go see it or we, you know, don't become Christians that are completely irrelevant to our culture. The point is that it's not as simple as saying what wasn't in the film. It's what is in the film. And like you said, it's impossible not to have a message. Even the silliest, most mindless movie out there that's just meant to make you laugh has messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, broad message. We've talked about many times on this program just about the perpetual adolescence that's being perpetrated in our society today, that people just are not growing up. Young people are just, you know, they're 30-some years old and still enamored with video games and spending huge amount of time on video games, these types of things. Well, all of a sudden we start seeing these types of movies come out where the person has no responsibility whatsoever and they're refusing to grow up. Life's just one big joke and party after the other. That's a message. It's sending, you know, a certain message to young people, and a lot of young people buy into that. So being able to discern these things is very important, and what the scripture calls us to be able to do, look at them to bring the bear the scriptures on every single aspect of life, from politics all the way down to things related to our family. Eric, very interesting discussion. Looking forward to the conference. We're down to just the final couple minutes of the broadcast here today. Let me give you the final word. Encourage people as to why they should come to this conference, and then feel free to give the websites or any pertinent information as well.
Wonderful. Yes, thank you for having us on today. I think the bottom line is, we as Christians, no matter where we're at in our faith, brand new Christians or 20 years into the faith, need to ask ourselves, have I grown more in the last year? Am I further along in my intimacy with God? Am I further along in my knowledge of God, my ability to witness? Am I growing? It doesn't mean we have to all become superstars in any one area, but just, are we growing? And this conference is going to allow you to do that. It's not just about head knowledge. It's about application and, more importantly, the heart for discipleship and evangelism. So that, I guess, would be the summary.
Amen. Well, Eric, thank you very much for being with us today. We greatly appreciate it, greatly appreciate all the work that you have put in to putting this conference on this year, as well as all the previous years that you've held it there. We appreciate that it's right up so close to us there in Charlotte. So thank you very much. I'm going to give the information about the website and how people can register here just before the program ends. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. There was Eric Gustafson, and he's the Director of Development there at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's also the administrator for the program that we've been talking about today, the National Conference on Christian Apologetics. You want to know more about this? Go out to www.ses.edu. That's S-E-S for Southern Evangelical Seminary.edu. You'll see a link out there to the conference. Just click on that, and it'll give you all the information. It's very affordable, $65 for adults and only $35 for students if you register before the early bird special ends. Remember this. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.